You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Document title, The High Priest. Topic, History and Need for Jesus Christ, our High Priest. Today's key verse and topic we find in the scripture of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 to 16, where our key verse is verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 to 16, Common English Bible. Because God's word is living, active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, it penetrates to the point that it separates the soul from the spirit and the joints from the marrow. It's able to judge the heart's thoughts and intentions. No creature is hidden from it, but rather everything is naked and exposed to the eyes of the one to whom we have to give an answer. Also, let's hold on to the confession, since we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, who is Jesus, God's Son. Because we don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with our weaknesses, but instead one who was tempted in every way that we are, except without sin. Finally, let's draw near to the throne of favor with confidence so that we can receive mercy and find grace when we need help. A little while ago, we talked about the importance of the book of Leviticus concerning our understanding of God's plan of salvation. In this message, we will continue to explore that God indeed does not change his mind, and that with the sending of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, his plan of salvation was not changed, but expanded toward the rest of creation. God does not have to change, and with that, he will not change his mind on things. Most of you who know me know that I am a person of logic, and in that logic, I will explain this statement to you. In the Bible, we know that God says of himself, "I am the beginning and the end." Revelation chapter 22, verse 13. God is what we call omnipresent. He is in all places at all times. David wrote in one of his famous Psalms, and I will paraphrase, "You knew me from my beginnings, while I was created in my mother's womb. And you knew me while I went to my grave. Wherever I tried to go to move away from you, you were there." He is and has been the same from the beginning of the earth unto the destruction of it. Another thing that is stated in Scripture to explain this is that one day is like 1,000 years. So, in defense of the earlier statement, God already knows what needs to be done when we react in a certain way to his guidance, and he knows the outcome of those decisions. He gives us so many options and chances to choose for him, but it is still up to us to make that choice. Unfortunately for us, at a certain moment, it stops. We have made our bed, as my mum would say. At that moment, we have made our choice, for him or not. And it was and still is our decision. That part is what we call free will. God has seen that so many wanted and want to follow him, but Satan has such a grip on their society that it becomes extremely hard to see the truth, even when it is straight in front of them. This way, it was with our Jewish brothers and sisters, and this way, it still is, with so many in our society and in our age. God has put in place a system of life rules and guidelines which each person is free to follow. The choice to follow God's life rules and guidelines is mandatory to gain entrance into his kingdom. You want to live in his kingdom, you need to obey his rule. It is so simple, it is almost silly. But that is nothing different from living in my house. You want to live in my house, you must live by my rules. God's rules are called God's law, And this law and these guidelines we do find in the Holy Bible. Unfortunately, through the ages, people made it impossible for themselves to abide by these rules. Leviticus chapter 19 lists some of these laws that are relatively simple to maintain. Let me give you some of them, and you make a decision for yourselves, which would still apply to our current daily life, and which are not. But then, of course, at the same time, ask yourselves why. In last week's message, we discussed holiness unto the Lord. Chapter 19 of Leviticus, from which we will read some parts, makes a discernment on how to live life as a holy people. And we are not going to read all of it, but I do highly recommend reading the rest on your own. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 1 to 4, 9 to 19, 26 to 34, and 37. New International Version, 1984. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the whole community of the Israelites, stop here for a moment." Further on, you will hear that the whole community of the Israelites also means those that are living in the land with them, or the guests, and with that also us as the adoptees. It is the whole community of the Israelites. So let's continue with the well-known phrase that we know from our holiness message, "Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Each of you must respect his mother and father, and you must observe my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols or make gods of cast metal for yourselves. I am the Lord your God. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not deceive one another. Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Do not defraud your neighbor or rob him. Do not hold back the wages of a hired man overnight. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. I am the Lord. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Do not hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly, so you will not share in his guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Keep my decrees. Do not mate different kinds of animals. Do not plant your field with two kinds of seed. Do not wear clothing woven of two kinds of material. Leviticus chapter 19, continued. New International Version, 1984. Do not eat any meat with the blood still in it. Do not practice divination or sorcery. Do not cut the hair at the sides of your head or clip off the edges of your beard. Do not cut your bodies for the dead or put tattoo marks on yourselves. I am the Lord. Do not degrade your daughter by making her a prostitute, or the land will turn to prostitution and be filled with wickedness. Observe my Sabbaths and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Rise in the presence of the aged, show respect for the elderly, and revere your God. I am the Lord. When an alien lives with you in your land, do not mistreat him. The alien living with you must be treated as one of your native born. Love him as yourself, for you were aliens in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Keep all my decrees and all my laws and follow them. I am the Lord. Wow, Those are not too difficult, are they? Or are they? Honor our father and mother, respect them, and obey them, which also means respecting their opinions outside of the house or outside of their sight. Also, observe a day of Sabbath. When was the last time you truly took a day to sit down, not doing anything, reflecting on the Lord, reading a book, listening to some music, or watching a good, wholesome movie? And how many items do we have in our houses to which we attribute special strength or powers? What do I mean? Oh, those simple, innocent things that have been passed down through the generations. An upside-down horseshoe on the wall or above the door. Oh, nothing special, just for good luck. Oh yes, I know people who have Native American dream catchers on their walls. For them, a symbol of art or their heritage. Nothing wrong with that, but what about those who say, it brings good energy and it prevents bad dreams? What about that harvest thing that we read? Indeed, that is a biblical way of helping those in need. A farmer didn't harvest the corners that were already thinly grown, but left them for those less fortunate, so that there was food on their tables. Wow, that's a lot of hmms. Why not give it to the government and have them distribute it? Okay, here we go again. The Chinese, and not the Bible, have this saying, give the person a fish, and he will eat for a day. Teach him to fish, and he will eat for a lifetime. When the people learn to harvest themselves, they acquire a skill that can help them land a job and make it so that they do not have to reap the corners of the field anymore, or go after the fruit harvesters to pick up what is left. When we work through the government, as in the corner pieces of our fields are taxed and then redistributed, the people do not learn the skills needed to become successful. They only learn to depend on the government. This is then called the redistribution of wealth. You have so much that you would not need those corner pieces, so we will tax them, they say. My wife and I felt really bad a number of weeks ago. We had so many eggs that we didn't know what to do with them anymore, and instead of giving them away, we disposed of them. What a waste. However, we learned a great lesson from that too. And this will not happen again. Okay, back to verse 11. Do not steal, lie, deceive, swear falsely, or curse. Do not bully. Do not bend the law, so that it goes for you, but not for me. The law is absolute, the same for all. Do not gossip or tell bad things about your neighbors. Do not seek revenge toward them, but love them as yourself. Keep God's laws. Do not crossbreed animals or plant potatoes and rice in the same field. Do not wear spandex with a woolen sweater. Okay. I know, spandex, but I just couldn't resist it. Do not eat raw meat. Do not play with Ouija boards or read the cards and palms. Do not clip your sideburns or your beard. Do not make your body look like it has been hit by shrapnel or place tattoos on it. Do not dress up or dress out your daughters to look like a prostitute, because it will become normal to the world and they will easily become women of very, very low values. Here it is, a second time, in the same scripture. Thus, very important, observe the Sabbath and respect the house of God. Do not turn to fortune tellers or those who speak to the dead. And let us not forget, when an elderly person comes in, rise up out of respect. Give them your seat on the bus, tram, or subway. Help them with their chair at the dinner table. You know, show respect. Treat those who are foreign-born with honesty, because do not forget, you were once lost in sin too. Keep God's laws, and you will inherit His kingdom. Wow! How many of these rules have I broken? How many of these rules have you broken? So that means what? According to Leviticus, it means that we either deserve death, or that we need to go to the temple and prepare a sin offering and plead to God for forgiveness. And hence suddenly, we see our problem. No high priest, no priesthood, no temple, no day of atonement for us. And definitely, no way that you will see me go to the city, erect an altar in front of the Capitol building. Then, that would be followed by the kosher slaughter of a perfect lamb. You know the one. Mary had a little lamb. Her fleece was white as snow. Can you imagine? Putting up a holding pen for my sacrificial lamb? That would break how many laws on the lawn of the Capitol building? Which means sirens and animal control. Then the building inspector with the police, because do I have a permit for that thing we are building? And who approved it? But of course, by now, they might think I'm part of Occupy Austin or something like that. So I'm getting a 24-hour notice. Okay, yes, 24 hours. That should be long enough. Then I start the fire beside the altar, and more sirens are coming. It's the fire marshal. Do you have a permit for this? No, I'm not Occupy Austin, I say. But who believes me by now? Nobody. Holding the lamb, pulling out my razor-sharp K-bar knife. And from everywhere, you hear a loud click, click, because by now, SWAT is locked and loaded. And you can hear the people, shoot him, shoot him, shoot him. The Humane Society has a fit. Peter has a heart attack. The mayor has a decision to make, and the governor stands at a distance. Somehow, it looks all too familiar to him. The high priest was holding the lamb himself in Christ's case, and the people shouted, crucify him, crucify him. The government interfered, took him, made a public spectacle of him, and slaughtered him, after all, on the altar of the public, that old wooden cross. Christ, the fulfillment of the law. Because we are just not able to uphold all of God's laws anymore. Jesus Christ showed us how by still upholding the spirit of God's laws, he was even accused of breaking them. Luke chapter 6, verse 1 to 5, New International Version, 1984. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat the kernels. Some of the Pharisees asked, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? Jesus answered them, have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus said, as we discussed last week, that he was not on earth to change or eradicate the law, but to fulfill them. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 to 20, New International Version, 1984. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. And he did fulfill the requirements of these laws and the requirements put forward in Leviticus chapter 21 for the Kohanim, the high priest. He is our high priest, and with that, he, Jesus Christ, was able to enter into the presence of God's holiness and to bring the sacrifice needed for our salvation, needed for forgiveness. He paid the price. He redeemed us. He made available to you and to me, as our high priest, what has become impossible for us to gain on our own. Galatians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. New International Version, 1984. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. As often as we want, we can come into God's presence through Jesus Christ. But personally, we, the ones who are followers of Christ, marked with the stamp of the royal priesthood, are still only able to come into the holy place. Jesus is the pleader of our souls. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 6 to 7. New International Version, 1984. When everything had been arranged like this, the priests entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry. But only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins the people had committed in ignorance. In the fullness of God's perfect time, our Creator provided what humanity could never achieve through its own striving. A perfect high priest, unblemished by sin, uncorrupted by the fall, and untouched by the limitations of mortal lineage. In ancient days, the priesthood of Aaron served as a shadow of this greater reality. The blood of bulls and goats, though offered year after year, could never cleanse the conscience of man. They merely covered sin temporarily, pointing toward the eternal solution to come. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 to 12, New International Version, 1984, declares, "When Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, that is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. Through Christ, the veil of separation was torn from top to bottom. What was once reserved for the high priest on one sacred day each year, access to the presence of the Almighty, has now been made available to all who call upon the name of Jesus. The altar is no longer in Jerusalem, nor is it made of stone or bronze. The altar is now within the believer's heart, sanctified by faith, purified by grace, and illuminated by the indwelling Spirit of God. The Lamb that was slain, as described in Revelation chapter 5, verse 12, New International Version, 1984, is proclaimed in heaven with these words, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." This Lamb, our Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, is both priest and sacrifice, both intercessor and king. His blood speaks a better word than that of Abel, crying not for vengeance, but for mercy, redemption, and restoration. Beloved, as followers of Christ, we are not merely spectators of his priestly ministry, we are participants in it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, New International Version, 1984, reminds us, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Through him, we have become priests of reconciliation, ministers of grace, and bearers of divine mercy to a broken world." So, let us not take this access lightly. Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, as the writer of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, Common English Bible, urges us, "Let us draw near to the throne of favor with confidence, so that we can receive mercy and find grace when we need help. This is not a mere invitation. It is the very heartbeat of God, calling His children to return to Him. And to you, dear listener or reader, if you have not yet entered that holy place, if you have not yet placed your trust in the High Priest who intercedes for you even now, the invitation stands open. The veil has been torn. The sacrifice has been made. The blood has been shed. You do not need a temple, a lamb, or an altar. You need only to believe. For Romans chapter 10, verse 9, New International Version, 1984, declares that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Come then into His presence. Lay down your burdens, your guilt, and your striving. Approach the throne of grace, not as a stranger or an enemy, but as a redeemed child of the living God. The High Priest is waiting. His arms are open wide, His mercy endless, and His intercession eternal. And when you do, you will find that the law that once condemned now points to grace fulfilled. The holiness that once separated now draws you nearer, and the judgment that once loomed now becomes the joy of reconciliation. Through Jesus Christ, our eternal High Priest, the covenant of mercy stands forever. Jesus is that High Priest, Jesus is that sacrifice, and Jesus is all that, for you and for me. Amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.